to Witchy Weed Podcast. As always, it's me, Stardust, and I'm joined by the spooky crew this week, as always. Joining me, we've got Twisted Vic.
Hey, guys.
Halo the Fool.
Howdy, now.
Explicit. Your mom.
Your...
And this week, we got a special guest on the spooky crew, Scuba Steve.
Hi. What's up?
So, alright, so, we're missing Cockahead this week. She's doing, some behind-the-scenes marketing and promo as usual. And, she kind of needed a little break since she knew Explicit was going to be here today. The drama continues, fellas. You know, you ate her cheesecake, bro. He says it wasn't a big deal.
I could have bought her a whole.
But that one was made by her mom, yo.
Didn't even apologize.
Wait, her mom was cheesecake.
He didn't. Okay, let's play devil's advocate here. Let's come to Explicit's defense a little bit. He was hungry. He did not know that it was her mama's cheesecake. He just saw cheesecake, and as any normal person would say, "Hey, it's cheesecake." Probably high. Let's be honest. At the munchies. So, let's cut him some slack, yo. Sorry, Explicit. I'm sorry.
She talked about
that. I know. In a way, she did.
No.
I'm going to send me a filter.
No. No, we love you, Explicit. We missed you the past couple of weeks. Man, come on.
Stardust, you basically just caught him fat with just extra steps.
I mean, if we're being honest, most of us are on the chunky side.
We're a little chunky.
We like to eat, let's be honest. I mean, we got Twisted over here munching on a bag of freaking, what is it, Frosted Mini Wheats? Yeah, he's giving me that death stare. He's like, ah, you didn't have to mention that. I mean, they're probably here in the bag, pizza.
Man, at least it's a
help. It's a healthy snack. Man. You could have been munching on, like, some fried and we haven't even started smoking yet, guys. Relax. So, we're gonna, I wanted to, again, thank all of our new listeners. We do continue, guys, we're still continuing to grow. It's crazy. This week's top states. We've got New Jersey on the board. We've got Jersey, guys. Hey.
We're from the Jersey Shore.
Yeah, I don't know if we can actually do that accent.
I don't know if I'm even doing a Jersey accent.
I'm not even going to attempt it.
No, is it a coffee?
I thought it was Brooklyn.
Coffee. Is that Boston?
Boston.
Okay, well, hey, it's all the same general area. True. I mean, if since we now have Jersey listeners, can y'all correct us on how y'all talk then? That would be great.
Give us like a lesson.
Obviously, we got Floridians on our side, because I mean, obviously.
Right.
We got Louisiana. We got all my NOLA witches listening in. We got Colorado, y'all. All the recreational smokers.
Wait, go back to Louisiana. We love your chicken.
Louisiana, Popeye. I just said that earlier.
Popeyes, you can sponsor us.
Yeah, I love it, food. And then we got Halo the Fool that had a Popeye chicken sandwich face.
That shall not be discussed. So, yes, Louisiana NOLA witches. The Colorado for all the recreational smokers.
Yeah.
You know they're out there smoking and listening to us. We got Cali, y'all. Cali's listening to us. And of course, as we mentioned, last week, we are also in the UK, in Scotland and England, in Taiwan, in India, and in Belgium. I still love your waffles and your chocolates and your fries, all of it. Keep it coming. Shout outs for this week to our Instagram followers. We got, at living.lavita.5 farm.life.
I was going to say Loca.
no, Ricky Martin going on here. We got at tattoo _wolf_021. We got at midnight.movie.hour. We got at unsainted. I believe I'm saying it right. Unsainted. And we've got at the _bell_witch_podcast. Yes, guys, we have another podcast. We have several at this point following and liking our stuff and sharing us. So we're getting up there. Reminder to you guys that we're going to have an upcoming raffle of horror movie t-shirts, horror movies. Once we reach 500 followers on Instagram, getting there, guys. Keep it coming. Like and share. Don't forget the rollout segments. After every episode, we record our rollout segments, let you know what we just did, what to expect. What did you guys think of last week's episode, the Natalia Grace versus the Orphan?
I'm still wrapping my head about that there's a show about the case. About the
case. Yeah, it's a little bit of a conundrum, just like the case itself.
So. Yeah. I'm
still bad at fucking. Yeah. Are you familiar with the Natalia Grace case? It's a little person that was adopted at the age of 6 from Ukraine, and the adoptive parents here, especially the mom, for whatever reason, apparently didn't like her, didn't want to keep her, so they got inspiration from the movie The Orphan and basically started saying that she was a con artist and she was an adult pretending to be a child. And started elaborating lies about this kid and left her in an apartment by herself with barely anything to for her to survive on at the age of, she was like 9-10 years old when they did this to her. So yeah, horrible.
Yeah, no, that's not it.
Yeah.
Yeah, it's definitely a heartbreaking case, and we've gotten a lot of reactions from it. So definitely it reached a lot of people, and they feel like we do. They're like those, they feel like Hagahead does.
No.
They said that those people are some crusty, musty, dusty ass people. So yeah, that's going to be, I think, Hagahead's new line. Musty, dusty, crusty. But yeah. But other than that, you know what time it is, guys? It's time to get litty like a titty. So let's light that shit. Today's strain of the week is Z-Runts. Oh, okay. So we're going to begin this week's discussion on haunted objects. So were y'all familiar at all with how many different objects could actually be haunted?
The only two that I know.
Let's just start naming them.
The only two, like, haunted objects that I Annabelle, Hayden because of Conjuring.
Yeah.
And Robert Adolf since part of your family.
Yeah. When we get to Robert the Doll, for those of you that do not know the story, I will recount what happened as a personal experience, not myself, my family members. But yeah, there's a bunch. You're going to be surprised to hear them, so we might as well get started. Who has the fucking cone, man? I want to hit it. Oh, hey, Lou. You hogging that shit?
Are you babysitting? No babysitting.
So the first object that we're going to look at is the Myrtle's Plantation Mirror. It's a haunted mirror, guys.
Why is that giving me, like, a Supernatural vibes? Remember that one episode?
You're right.
The blood and everything.
You're right. I don't know. When I first heard about this, my first thought was like, mirror on the wall kind of deal. But I wish it would just tell you who's the most prettiest person or whatever that story did. But it's located inside of the Myrtle's Plantation in St. Francisville, Louisiana. My NOLA witches, so you guys know about this shit. Okay. So, it's alleged the site of as many as 10 murders, and it boasts that it has. Oh, that shit is. I know. So,
trying to hold it in.
I know. It's kind of strong. I know. So, this mansion, even though it already has 10 murders that occurred and added, so that's already enough to haunt the place itself.
10 murders.
The mirror is where the issue is. Because purchased by the home's owners about maybe 3 or 4 decades ago, the mirror is actually said to contain the ghost of Sarah Woodruff and her children. Sarah Woodruff was actually the original mistress of the house.
Shit.
You know what it reminds me of? Scary Movie 2? How the ghost in the house was like the mistress of the house? Remember that it was supposed to be like...
There was a guy ghost.
There was the guy ghost, and then there was his wife or his whatever.
Oh, okay.
Was like supposedly who Anna Faris' character was being tormented by.
That's right.
She was the mistress. So, yeah, that's what it makes me think of when they say the original mistress of the house. But custom dictates that mirrors should be covered when someone dies so that the soul of the deceased doesn't get caught in the mirror instead of ascending to heaven. And apparently, when Sarah died, the people around her abandoned that tradition or just didn't give a shit, didn't believe in it, I don't know.
Someone get the memo.
Someone did not get the memo. And now, anybody that visits the Myrtle's plantation has reported seeing handprints materialize in the mirror. And also long drip marks, which no amount of cleaning removes. So that's kind of freaky. It's, you know, the summers here where they're at in Louisiana are warm, and the air is very thick. And so in between, you know, all of the beautiful landscapes, we're going to start our story with a newly married couple, Mr. and Mrs. Clark Woodruff. Mr. Woodruff was actually a judge, and he owned slaves. So, yeah, it was normal at the time. Let's point that out. It's not that he was an evil man for the time, but he's an evil man now. But one of his house slaves went by the name of Chloe. You know, I guess it's like that video we used to like on YouTube.
I think he renamed.
They probably did. They wanted white names. So, but unfortunately, this poor girl, Chloe, was a victim of Woodruff's cruelty throughout the years. And Chloe tried to protect herself by listening into conversations of the Woodruffs and modifying her behavior. So one day after being caught eavesdropping, I was going to say, that's definitely not the way to try to stay out of trouble. Woodruff actually had her ears cut off.
Ow.
Oh, yeah. Yeah.
Double Picasso.
By doing this, he basically felt that he was forcing her to carry the shame and disfigurement of what she had done for the rest of her life.
Oh, yeah, that's right.
Double mango.
Double mango. So... Even though this, her mutilation that he had done to her, she hid it for many years at his request, whatever. She would use a green turban wrapped around her head to hide her ears. No one would ever see her marks, but this experience would be enough to change who she was, and she made plans for revenge.
Why not?
Cut off my ears?
That's a
knife or not. Revenge here. Denied or not.
So, again, on the 9th birthday of the Woodruff's daughter, Chloe placed poisonous oleander leaves into the cake. Chloe's plan was originally to poison Mrs. Woodruff and the children. Some sources claim that it was never her intention to kill all the family. They suggest that Chloe wanted to get them sick so she could nurse them back to health. That was actually her plan. In the South, local healers were among the most respected of the community, so she figured if she could heal the family, she would be safe from any harsh treatment or anything, or even having to work in the field. She figured, I'll pull a fast one on them and I'll get out of trouble. But tragically, her dosage was lethal, and it ended up killing Mrs. Woodruff and her two children. So after word spread of her actions on the plantation, the other slaves were the ones to take revenge. Chloe was hanged by her neck. Her body. She was then weighed down by rocks and thrown into the Mississippi River.
Damn.
The plantation was the site of another gruesome activity after Chloe's death. That's what I'm saying. It's been several different things. Now, the thing is, the paranormal activity became noticeable when the plantation went on to be used as a film set for movies. Like The Long Hot Summer was one of the best films. I've heard of it. I'm going to be honest, I've never seen it. But visitors were not safe from having their own paranormal encounters while they were there. While filming, the cast and crew members reported witnessing furniture moving around the home all on its own, and they could find nothing to explain the activity. And it started becoming more noticeable in the 1970s once it was purchased by the Myers family.
Michael Myers?
What is his name? So, multiple ghosts and residents reported seeing the transparent and ghostly apparitions of a young girl wearing a green turban moving throughout the property. And in 1992, the owner took a famous photo that they believe captures Chloe's spirit. So the photo was intended to be used to just get like an insurance policy for the home in case of fire or any other natural disasters. Wasn't that they were trying to capture a ghost, but it just so happens that there was a presence discovered that kind of looks like a slave. I actually have a picture here for you guys to be able to see. That if you look in the picture on this little corner, it kind of looks like there's a slave person there. Which we'll obviously have to post a copy of this into the podcast pages to be able to show the listeners the picture, because it actually does look like there is one. Now, one researcher, visitors report seeing Woodruff's children appear in the mirror near the room where they're. So that mirror has had handprints, drip marks, ghostly apparitions, everything. Now, even though there's a lot of the ghost stories, people debate if Chloe actually ever existed. And if that was even her real name, like I said, we might have changed it. Today, the residence is actually known as the Myrtle's Plantation Bed and Breakfast. So you could rent a night there.
Oh, or,
you never know. It is recognized as one of the most haunted houses in America, according to the National Geographic.
I have the breakfast, but I ain't having the bed.
Hell no, especially not anywhere near that mirror. I don't know about y'all, but I don't know.
Mirrors are fucking.
You're brave, your mom, because there's no way in hell you're paying me enough money to sleep inside of one of these places where there's a lot of paranormal. I see enough shit on my own. I don't need to be. There's that much shit. And you take it wherever you go. You imagine that all of a sudden you're at home and you see some slave with a green turban and cut off angle ears. That's what.
Okay. You have bigger balls than me, and I actually have balls.
So, I will visit all of the haunted houses y'all want me to visit, but I ain't staying overnight. Yeah, you got me fucked up if you think I'm going to stay overnight.
I'll still.
Got me fucked up.
Scuba Steve, you got some big balls. I got to tell you that. Hell to the no. I guess from all that scubaing.
Yeah. Scoops.
So, let's move on to our next haunted object, which it's actually a painting.
Oh, shit. God dang it, Picasso.
Actually, no. Painting was by artist Bill Stonehenge, and it's called The Hands Resisting. He's one of our listeners. You don't know. No. So it's actually a painting of a very sad-looking boy with basically lifeless eyes in front of a door next to a creepy girl doll. With a vaguely ventriloquist smile and jointed limbs. And behind them in this doorway that's actually like, I guess you could say kind of like a French door with like glass panes that you can see through. There's several pairs of childish hands that are pressed against the glass of the It's considered one of the world's most haunted artworks. In 2000, a California couple put the eerie picture up for sale on an online auction site with a warning to potential buyers. Apparently, by the nighttime, the figure, or come nightfall, that's what she's saying, at nighttime, the figures in the painting would move or disappear.
Oh.
Or the odd-looking boy would actually enter the room where the painting hung.
Oh, that's like the nun type
the
shit.
The nun painting, where all of a sudden it's
yes.
Fuck that shit.
Oh, no.
If a ghost tries to come at me, I'm scrapped.
No.
I'm going to fight.
They keep in the fucking house.
Good luck fighting
I'm,
a
I'm out.
Clear, translucent being.
It's
hey.
Called gasoline.
It's called salt.
It's fun. You've been watching too much Supernatural.
It's about boiling water.
Oh, you boil the hell out of it.
Not in this place, it's not, but hey.
You know, so.
I thought Jesus is a witch.
Yeah.
That's why, he healed the people. Spells and magic.
Yep, it, but, and it washes in the river.
Elements of the earth. Which, I think so. But anyways, we're not having that discussion this week. So, here's where it gets really creepy now. People who viewed the painting complained of feeling sick or weak, or as if unseen hands were grabbing. Now, according to the artist Stoneham, the painting was based on a childhood photograph of himself at age 5. He says the doorway symbolizes a threshold between worlds. The doll acts as a guide through this world in between waking and dreaming. And the hands represent other lives. So already his explanation sounds creepy enough. He says he's surprised by all of the supernatural speculation surrounding the painting. But he did concede that both the owner of the first gallery to ever show his painting and the art critic who reviewed it both died within 1 year of first seeing the painting.
What?
Yeah. Both the owner of the gallery where it was displayed and the Los Angeles Times art critic were dead within a year of the show. He says he sure it was coincidence, but some of what he paints resonates in other people, opening the inner door or basement. This is what the painting, like a recreation of the painting, what it looks like. So you see the boy, the doll, and the door with all just the little handprints on it. Which we'll have to post that also on the page so for them to be able to see it, because it's doesn't. I mean, it is a little creepy, just the hands that there's just hands. Why are there just hands on the floor and no kids? You know, it's kind of weird. Now, the next object. Would you believe me if I told you that a chair is haunted?
No.
Well, that's Thomas Busby's chair.
Chair?
That's yeah, but it's not really a chair. Chair, it's more like a bench.
No.
This is an actual chair. It's Thomas Busby's chair. Tell you Thomas Busby's. So in the summer of 1702. What?
Buzz Lightyear.
Thomas Busby.
Busby. Buzz Lightyear.
I guess it's Busby because it's B-U-S-B-Y. So in the summer of 1702, we have many moons ago, Thomas Busby strangled his father-in-law when he found him sitting in his favorite oak chair.
Wow.
That's my chair, bitch!
that sounds like a Homer fucking segment part for saying
that's chair. Gonna be the next time that we
sit in the spot. This was like, yeah, we'll see about that.
First date, cheesecake, now you're stealing
spots in the chair. That's gonna
next?
Be the next haunted chair, I think.
Yeah.
So, okay, so he killed him for sitting in his favorite oak chair. You know, because that's a total viable reason to kill him.
I'm not saying he's right, but I understand.
It's reason.
He was arrested, tried, and condemned to death. His last request on the way to the gallows in Thurskit, England, was to stop in at his favorite pub and drink ale in his favorite chair. When he finished his drink, he declared, "May sudden death come to anyone who dares sit in my chair." The chair remained in the pub for centuries, and allegedly anyone who sat in it later died from some unforeseen misfortune. Since 1972, the chair has been hung from the ceiling of the Thirst Museum in North Yorkshire, England, so no one can sit in it, even accidentally. The chair, let me go ahead and show you what the chair looks like. It's a plain old chair. I don't know what he was like all out of his freaking board for. He would tell me it's a nice lazy boy recliner.
Yeah, that shit looks like
a good cushion. It's just
uncomfortable. Yeah, it's not even cushioning. Just what?
But that was his favorite chair. Nobody damn sit in this damn chair.
What's so special about it?
That was grandma's scuba guy's chair.
Maybe. Who knows what the reasons were, but whatever it was, don't you dare sit in Thomas' chair. So, alrighty, the next item we're going to discuss is a haunted wedding dress.
That's gross.
You know what? I think if I remember correctly, in one of them, I think it was Annabelle Control, one of them.
I think there was
a dress. There was a wedding dress, so who knows if it's the same one. But here's the deal. So in 1849, wealthy Anna Baker fell in love with a low-class steelworker. But her class-obsessed father, Elias, forbade the marriage and drove Anna's beloved away from their hometown of Altoona, Pennsylvania. Ooh, our Pennsylvanians will know the story. Anna died a bitter and broken-hearted woman. I'd be pissed about that if that's the case. Anna's unused wedding dress. So eventually the Baker Mansion was transformed into a museum, and visitors could view Anna's unused wedding dress inside a glass case in her bedroom. Reportedly, the garment is haunted, often seen moving on its own side to side, or shaking violently within its glass case. The mansion is also reportedly the site of other hauntings, because David Baker, Anna's brother, was killed in a steamboat accident in 1852, and so screams have been heard from the basement where David's body was stored until the ground thawed enough. So, this dress was the only thing that Anna had left to remind her of the relationship that drove her beloved away. For years, Anna locked herself away in her room, even refusing to eat or speak with anyone. But finally, in 1864, her father passed away, and Anna saw this as an opportunity to find her love. But unfortunately, by the time she found him, he was married to somebody else and had a family. So this caused her to sink into a deeper depression, again locking herself away in her room. And from that point on, the only time anyone saw her was through glimpses of her from the window. Maids even claimed to see her dancing alone in her wedding dress when her family but she would run, and the moment would be ruined if she heard anyone. At night, they claimed to hear her heartbroken sobs echoing. So the dress now, visitors claim to hear Anna Baker wandering around her room, talking about now, in present day. Sometimes they hear her crying. Other times they can actually see her looking down at them. The mansion, Baker Mansion, was actually converted into a museum. And her wedding dress was encased in a glass and put on display in her room, as I said earlier. And it seems to be where most of the paranormal activity is centered to be around. Dress. Visitors have witnessed, like I said, the case move while they're in the last case. It felt like wind moved it or something. It gives the appearance as if someone is trying to get to the dress, like kind of rattling the cage, you know? Many believe that it's actually Anna trying to get her dress so she could wear it and dance like she was meant to at her head. Others claim that the dress has moved, or they've caught glimpses of what appeared to be the dress out of its case floating around. One version of Anna's story says that after Elias found out about the wedding, he forced Anna to give the dress to Elizabeth Bell, the daughter of another wealthy landowner. And after her wedding, Elizabeth Bell ruthlessly mocked Anna. That's fucked up. You know? Ruthlessly mocked her inability to find her from her love, which, again, caused Anna into further depression. And the saddest thing is that some visitors today claim to hear mocking coming, then followed by heartbreaking sobs. Now, I don't know what she was so obsessed with the dress for, no offense, Anna, but that is the ugliest epic dress I've ever seen.
I would not say yes to that dress.
I would say, hell no! You must go! Yeah, right? It's like, it's a no. Like, I don't know. Was she weightlifting when she was going to wear this dress? Because it's like,
why is it so like,
right?
Shoulders probably.
She must have had really big shoulders. I wonder if she was
great. Felt like a quarterback.
She like Russian or something?
Russian. Yeah.
So, the next item is one of our favorites.
Annabelle.
The Raggedy Ann bitch. Raggedy Ann bitch. So, we all know how the story goes. In 1970, a woman purchased a Raggedy Ann doll in a secondhand store as a Christmas present for her daughter, Donna, who was a nursing student in Hartford, Connecticut. Soon, Donna and her roommate, Angie, found the doll standing and kneeling by itself, and fresh droplets of blood seemed to appear on the doll's body. As the unexplained phenomena increased, Donna consulted a medium who told her that the doll was possessed by the spirit of a young girl called Annabelle. But Annabelle's antics became more dangerous. So Donna had to call on paranormal investigators Ed and Lorraine Warren to the rescue, who confirmed that a demon, not a young girl, possessed Donna's doll. To this day, Annabelle resides in a locked box in Lorraine Warren's basement museum of cursed objects, where the doll is blessed twice a month by a priest. Now, let's face it, she does not look anything like the Annabelle movies. They definitely made that look creepier and scarier from movie effects. Because this one was a regular old Raggedy Ann doll. But
if it was a regular Raggedy Ann doll, it would trick me to get it.
Exactly. That's why when I remember when I had first seen the Annabelle movie, my first thought was, why the hell would anybody want that creepy looking doll? Like, I don't care how much of a collector of dolls you are. That one did not look at all like a doll that anybody should have. It was like, I had this really creepy look to it. Like, really? Like, it felt like something wrong with that. I don't feel bad for that bitch. I'm
saying.
Now, the thing is, like we're saying, her little half smile of a real Annabelle, and her bright little orange triangular nose, it kind of, you know, childhood, yeah. You know, it looks cute.
Yeah.
According to Ed and Lorraine Warren's reports on this, they said that they could tell you that the stark warning scrawled across Annabelle's glass plate case says, warning, positively not open, sign on the case says. And they're saying that it's with good reason, it's more than necessary to have that. According to their reports, the doll is responsible for two near-death experiences, one fatal accident, and a string of demonic activities that lasted about 30 years. The first of these hauntings can be traced back to 1970, when she was brand new, which is Donna's story. As the story goes, you know, we know already that stuff, but at first the doll was just an accessory in their apartment. They would sit in on the living room sofa, and that way she could just, you know, look cute on the sofa. But before long, they started to notice that she would move out of the room without anybody moving. Yeah, I would have burned the doll. She would be sitting, she says Donna would sit in her living room sofa before leaving for work, only to come in the afternoon and find her in the bedroom. Big red flag. Nobody's home, and yet your dog moves and the door's closed now. Donna and Angie started finding notes left throughout the apartment, reading, "Help me." According to the women, the notes were written on parchment paper, which they didn't even keep in there. They didn't have that. So where was this parchment paper even coming from? Furthermore, Angie's boyfriend, known as Luke, was in the apartment one afternoon while Donna was out and heard rustling in the room as if someone had broken in. So, being the man in the house, he's like, I know who freaking is my girl's place. But when he went to inspect, he found no sign of forced entry, but found the doll lying face down on the ground. Suddenly, he felt a searing pain on his chest and looked down to find bloody claw marks running across it. 2 days later, they vanished without a trace.
What the hell?
So, the medium that they invited over, like I said, told them that this was inhabited by the spirit of a deceased 7-year-old girl named Annabelle Higgins. His body had been found years earlier on the site where their apartment was built. Sounds viable. I could buy that story, you know? The medium claimed that the spirit was benevolent and simply wanted to be loved and cared for. It's an evil spirit, supposedly. She's not attention. It's love. This one made itself
sacrificial.
The two young nurses, here's where I'm like, you know what, even if you hear this story, come on, yo, you're nurses, you're supposed to be smart. The two young nurses felt bad for the spirit and consented to give her permission to take up permanent residence inside their doll that lived in their home. Please, permanently live with us. I don't give a shit if it's a 7-year-old, a spirit of a girl. I don't care. Girl better go back to her mama, not to me. But, hey. So,
Felicia.
Eventually, like I said, they did have to call on a priest that then contacted his superior, who then alerted Ed and Lorraine Warren about this case. And it started, Lorraine and Ed believe that their trouble really started when they began believing that the doll deserved their sympathy. It was a demonic force and it should not have been allowed to stay. Because they said, this is their account of the case, spirits do not possess inanimate objects like houses or toys. They possess people. An inhuman spirit can attach itself to a place or object, and this is what occurred in the Annabelle case. This spirit manipulated the doll and created the illusion of it being alive in order to get recognition. Truly, the spirit was not looking to stay attached to the doll. It was looking to possess it. So they noted that this was a demonic possession, including teleportation because of the doll moving on its own, materialization because of the parchment paper notes, and the mark of the beast, loose claw chest. They subsequently ordered an exorcism of the apartment, and then took Annabelle out of the apartment to their resting place in their museum. And I know you guys know what that looks like. Sweet little innocent Annabelle. Don't you want an Annabelle doll? Explicit.
I'm pretty sure I have one.
So Halo has had one, and your mom is saying she's pretty sure there's one at her house.
I'm not going to your house, Annabelle.
Cockahead has an Annabelle doll? Oh my god.
I'm never going to play.
And how did she stick at her?
For all you know, that cheesecake now was haunted, okay?
Now you're haunted.
No, but when I was, I also had an phone call that I remember, like, eight, right? In my room, I was at the top, and the doll was sitting, like, on my dresser, and all of a sudden, she arms go up like this.
Hail to the doll. That doll would be in a barrel full of fire.
That was the last time I ever.
Yeah.
I don't blame you. You could have been killed by now.
Like I said, that's the only part.
Yep. fire. Throw some salt in there just to make sure.
Boiling water.
Boiling water if you got any.
Boiling water.
Boiling water just in case. We like go back to the water.
Boil the hell out of it.
Basically, you know what? No, I ain't getting. I don't care if it's a doll. Shit. If there's one thing that I've learned, anything could be haunted. Which is exactly the next case that we're going to talk about. Did you ever believe that a phone number could be haunted?
Don't fucking dare him.
No, don't dare him, pussy.
You will do it.
Now, whether you consider that a phone number...
Listen, fuck off.
He doesn't know what the number is, so I don't know what he's dialing. He must be calling 999999 because he knows the number. 19?
He's calling Papa John.
He's calling 19. We best talk ahead. Okay, so, but whether you consider a phone number to be an object or not, I mean, it's up to you. I'm on Team Object. But it was just too wild not to mention. Me, at least. In short, several people who have had the phone number have died in pretty intense fashions. The number's first holder, former Mobitel CEO Vladimir Brashnov, died of cancer at just 48 in 2000. The number was then passed to a Bulgarian mob boss who was shot and killed by an assassin in 2003. After that, the number became businessman Konstantin Dishliev's number until he was fatally shot outside of a restaurant in 2005. The number was suspended after that, and the mobile phone company Mobitel did not provide details as to why. Now, as you may know, there are a lot of hotels which do not have a floor number 13 or even a room number 13 because it's considered a haunted and inauspicious number. So now, similarly, a Bulgarian number has been suspended forever after the company observed a pattern where all its owners died. How would you like to know? It's suspended, so it doesn't matter. He can't call it.
No, it
is a Bulgarian number, so it's not even our number format. So I don't know how he would be able to call it, but the number apparently is 0888888888. He's trying.
You got international.
Explicit's trying to call this damn.
God damn it, explicit.
He got some kind of recording. It sounds like.
Nothing.
And nothing happened. Again, the number was suspended 2005. So, but I just, you know, when I read that story, I was just like, how the hell does a number? It says, actually, ever since 2005, the number has been suspended, and whoever calls on it hears the same message outside network coverage. So, I don't know if that's the message you heard, but that's that. Now, the last object that we're going to discuss is the one that we had mentioned earlier, which is Robert the Doll. Because we cannot discuss haunted objects and not discuss Robert the Doll, which is in Florida. Again, it's us Floridians with our stories, bro, in Key West. So, this doll, the legend has it that you cannot take pictures of. Because A, it will not let you, and B, if you somehow do, you are cursed and will die a horrible death. And I can tell you, like I said...
And like this, your family tried this?
I don't think they were well aware of the legend when they tried this. It was just saying something about, oh, you can't take pictures, it won't let you, or something. So my family took it as, it won't let you. Okay, yeah, let's prove it wrong. So my brother, having his very expensive camera with him, because he likes to just amateur picture time, take pictures, he decides, let me take a picture of it. As he tries to take a picture, his camera is not working. And he's, what's going on? And he's trying to figure it out. Being Mr. Fix It, I can get this camera running. I'll give me a minute. And he's trying and trying, and it wouldn't work. And he kept trying, and it wouldn't work. So he said, let me try with my cell phone camera. And it wouldn't work. It kept on not working. Now tell me how it is that as soon as they left from where the building where they show you Robert the Doll, and they're walking away, his camera and his phone camera are now working great again. It would not allow him to take a picture. That is one of the legends that if you ask him, he may let you, which is how some people have been able to get it. But they run the risk of getting it. Again, he says no, and you still take or try to take the picture or whatever, you're cursed because now you didn't even listen to him. So, but my brother, not knowing this, he didn't ask for permission. He tried, but he wasn't allowed to. So, is it a coincidence that years later had this issue? Coincidence, maybe. Enough. It's one of those things that make you go. Now, aside of that, do y'all know or have heard of any other ghost objects? The dirty yes. Box? Yes, I did read about
the Dybbuk box.
The Dybbuk box. I know yes. It was
Dybbuk box.
You know, it's ironic.
So is Florida!
Started in Michigan.
New Michigan's.
The Dybbuk box is.
It's Jewish, someone's isn't it? Spirit. It's like a yes. Jewish box. Famous.
Basically, give it items inside of it and the wax seal.
Now, why would you open that?
That's what they say that have that activity.
I'm sorry. If you hear all this type of like rumors regarding this box and you have this box in your possession, you have to be a grade A asshole idiot. To say, let me open it and see what happens.
I like to watch videos.
Yeah.
Why?
And if you look on, I think it's like,
why would you want to buy it?
A lot of people like to click on the content.
It must have death wishes.
The only people are just doing that is Ed and Larry.
Seriously, and they're gone. So at this point, I trust their daughter and her husband. They're the ones that have taken over the family business. I trust them.
I know it's still sad about what happened.
Yeah. I like seeing her in the original Conjuring. Yeah, tidbit for those that don't know, she does make a little tiny cameo in the original Conjuring.
Really?
Yeah.
You know when Ed and Lorraine are in a classroom giving like a speech or they're talking to the students? And they do like a small quick glance over the audience and they show you some of the audience.
The
old lady with the ruffled freaking shirt is Lorraine Warren in her own fucking movie. That shit is pretty cool. I like seeing it. No, their movies, again, like we said when we covered their movies, are awesome as hell. Definitely have a lot of Easter eggs hidden all throughout them, like whole Valak situation. Love that.
Yeah, sure.
They were saying the freaking thing's name all over the movie, and if you really pay attention, you see it almost every scene, I'd say. There's something in the room that says Valak. It's crazy. It's crazy, but yeah, so those are the haunted objects that we've got. Next week's episode, we're going back to a movies episode, Tristan. Oh, yeah. You're going to be happy. And with one of your also favorites, in a sense, we're covering the Scream franchise.
Oh.
Yes. So we'll be discussing the Golden Chainsaws and the
Dull
Chainsaws from each movie.
Thank you, Danby, for that inspiration. Not really inspiration, it's like a ripoff. But...
We are, what is it? Imitation is seriously flattered. We're just imitating. Like it, that we thought it was cool.
We can say don't an hacksaw and bone. So that's not like
a blatant ripoff.
Yeah.
Might as well. So the golden hacksaw and the bone hacksaw of each screen movie. So this did haven't caught up. This week you have a week to catch up on the screen movie.
Oh, I got what's the word? Inspiration. Watch.
Now you got inspiration.
Yeah, Jared Tate.
Yeah. Yeah, he's a small question, Jared Tate.
Let's be honest.
I love her.
I loved her character. Which, you know what? Future episode, Adam's Family, and all of this.
Oh, yeah, I love the movie.
Because the show, everything. Yeah, I said show twice. Because I was talking about Wednesday and the actual Adam's Family show.
And part two.
So, there's a lot of revolving back, so that'll be a future episode as well. But yes, next week's is Scream franchise. So get your ghost face on, y'all. But remember that you can follow us on Facebook at Witchy Weed Podcast, Instagram at Witchy_Weed_Podcast, TikTok Witchy Weed Podcast, Reddit r/WitchyWeedPodcast, on X at Witchy_Weed, or you can send us a Gmail at WitchyWeedPodcast@gmail.com. Remember to stay tuned for the YouTube channel coming up, our Patreon services coming up, and merch. Yep, you heard it right. We're looking at merch saying therapy, get litty like a titty, make a mofongo. Some with like maybe the fucking the skunk ache at the bill.
I'll say it again.
Definitely a your Steve. And we gotta have a cock ahead. Some Shithi Nation or something.
Yes, let's go with Steve.
And then we got. Come on. Hey, howdy, y'all.
I feel like that should be like in pink with like white.
You know, with like a lasso or something.
Yeah.
That does sound perfect. So, guys, we've got all these ideas. Any suggestions, comments, questions, whatever you've got, reach out to us. We love you. Love our fans. Keep listening. And until next time. Stay lit, witches!